Meeting to order at 6:06. Please rise for a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, minutes. We are looking for a motion regarding the minutes of May 21st.
Why May 21st?
Something wrong. Was this, refresh my memory why this is the May 21st?
Yeah, those were the ones that were actually missing, so we're still working on the last meeting for the minutes.
So these had not been done previously. Okay, so do we have a motion regarding these minutes of May 21st?
So moved.
Second.
Linda, we have a motion and a second from, I'm sorry, tell me your name again.
Raymond.
Raymond, that's right, that's right. Sorry, thank you. Okay, and any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, please say no. Hearing none, motion carries. Minutes are approved. Nothing under old business, new business, 5A. Brenda?
Okay, let me know if you can't hear me. This is the request or recommendation of approval for a zoning map amendment. I'm going to try my best to describe where this property is.
Okay.
Lakeside Estates. Everyone knows where Lakeside Estates is?
Nope.
So, yeah, no?
Just refresh the address for me, Brenda.
Fortune Road.
I'm good, I'm good. I got it.
Okay.
Fortune, okay.
Fortune Road on the south side of Lakeside Estates.
Heavy Grove.
On Fortune Road. This is a rezoning on the property that's 52, approximately almost 53 acres of land to change the zoning from RC1, which is a multifamily medium-density residential, to RC2 zoning. There's currently a small structure on the property. The property has been previously approved as a fruit and vegetable stand for the longest time. It was previously part of a larger PUD called Ivy Creek Development, but that PUD was dissolved and rezoned back in 2023 to rezone that property to RC1. What we're trying to do today is to do the second tier, the multifamily medium-density residential. There's two, there's RC1, to change it to RC2. Changing it to RC2 will provide for reducing the building coverage and allow for additional recreation and space for recreational open space amenities. In addition to that, compatibility within the area, there is multifamily to the northwest. There's a vacant property I want to add on the compatibility, the vacant property in Lakeside Estates. We actually have an application in review right now for multifamily. And then also, as of last night, there was a resolution that passed to acknowledge a affordable housing live local project at 2231 Fortune Road, which is going to be northeast of the property. It's a property ball field that currently owned by the Iglesia Bautista Church. So that got approved. We don't have a formal application, but it was acknowledged that we are anticipating an affordable housing project on that side. So there's four different parcels, four multifamily to the north. We also have multifamily existing in Osceola County on the southwest portion of this property. In addition to that, I want to talk a little bit about infrastructure. If you've been on that area of town, Fortune, there's been improvements by Osceola County to widen that roadway. That widening improvement will include additional turn lanes, 6-foot to 10-foot pedestrian path is going to vary along there, in addition to bike lanes. Those improvements, they're underway as we speak, so there's additional to change that roadway from a rural roadway to an urban roadway. So at this time, the staff is recommending approval of this rezoning to RC1, to RC2, subject to, I'm not going to go into detail, to the comprehensive plan, the underlying multifamily medium-density residential land use. Again, this is just a rezoning. We're not changing the land use. And that's it. No conditions. It's subject to approval at this time. So I'm here, and we have also the applicant here to answer any questions that you may have.
Board members, any questions for the city? Alex.
One thing I noticed is in the Land Development Code 14-4-4 Part E, the zone intents, it says RC2 district is intended for use in areas which have been assigned a multiple family high density residential future land use designation. Mm-hmm. I guess since the LDC is explicit that the RC2 is meant for MF-HDR and this future land use is MF medium density, how does the city square this as complying with the future land use map?
Okay, so on the staff report, the multi-family medium density residential can accommodate lesser densities.
I did see that the multifamily or the MF medium density residential can accommodate densities from, I think, 10 to 20 units per acre, and the MFHDR is for higher. But I guess specifically, since one of the things we're tasked with discerning is whether or not the zoning map amendment is consistent with the future land use, given that the Land Development Code says that RC2 is intended for MFHDR and this is MFMDR, how do we find it? I guess, what does that intention mean if not to restrict which future land uses we should consider for RC2?
In this case, I think if you're talking about doing a land use change, right? But again, what would that add in this case if it's the second tier for RC2? We're not asking to take it from an RC1 to an RPB or a higher type of intensity type of zoning district. If you're talking about, you know, process, what have you, if you're looking at the RC1 and the RC2 zoning districts, the development standards are the same. Only the exception is the height. So I understand what you're saying, but if we're going to do a land use change, right, versus this rezoning for one development standard and go through another process for one development standard. And I understand that there, I understand what you're saying, but we look at, that's one aspect, we look at compatibility, we look at those types of things too as well, and what's in the surrounding area.
Yeah,
to your point, but the only difference between RC1 and RC2 is height.
I'll get back to Alex. I just want to follow Robert's rules and go. Tom, you had a comment?
Question. I think she might have just answered. The RC1 and RC2 is how high is the only difference?
Yes.
But isn't there more units per acre allowed?
No.
Why?
Because the land use is going to stay the same.
So you're
going to
have less footprint and more height? What tells you that? I didn't find anything that tells you that.
And the RC2 in the Land Development Code. And in the staff report, it does say that here, too, as well, that it will have a reduced building coverage to allow for additional recreational and open space.
Does anyone else have questions or comments?
Density stays, I'm sorry, density, just want to be clear, that density will remain the same. They cannot exceed the 20 dwelling units per acre.
If no one else has any comments, questions, go back to Alex. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess I actually have copies for everyone, and I think it might be worth visiting. So I brought a copy of 14-3-27 for everybody. These are the zoning map and land development code amendment criteria. So
got it.
The land development code gives us sort of explicit procedures to try to consider whenever we consider all the things we consider, you know, zoning map amendments, land development amendments. In particular, right now, since this is a zoning map amendment, I think it's Part D.
By the way, I should have mentioned this up front, and I would have prior to a vote, but if any of board members have any conflicts of interest, did any ex parte communications with any of the parties involved, or site visits, or your own research, please let that be known.
So, but yeah, so if you look at Part D, that is the zoning map amendment review criteria. That's what we're considering right now as a zoning map amendment. And it says the following criteria shall also be used by the Planning Advisory Board, that's us, and the City Commission when reviewing any applications for amendments to the zoning map. And then it lists four criteria that we're supposed to consider. The first is that the proposed amendment shall promote and protect the public health, safety, and general welfare and be consistent with the city's future land use map. Second, we're supposed to consider the proposed amendment shall be needed due to one or more of the following reasons. And then it lists A, B, C, D, E, F, G, several reasons. Three, the proposed amendment shall maintain or increase the potential for land use compatibility. Particular attention shall be given to the uses allowed by the designation, the existing uses of the property and nearby property, and existing and potential natural and man-made buffers. And four, the proposed amendment shall be consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies of the city's comprehensive plan. And so, to me, it's very clear the Land Development Code gives us a rubric, a sort of a checklist that we're supposed to consider for any zoning map amendment. And I thought it might be pertinent to kind of go through this one at a time and see if we think that this is compliant, because generally Florida statute requires that as the Planning Advisory Board we give clear justification for our recommendations. So, I feel like, for my own part, several of these are easy, I think. Like the city made clear, there's been a change to the road going next to the parcel, so I think for part two, there has been part A, a change in conditions affecting the parcel. I think that's sort of clear, so it seems like it satisfies 2A. For three, the proposed amendment shall maintain or increase potential for land use compatibility, particular attention to the nearby things, and here I think the city made clear that there are multifamily nearby. And in particular, I think this one is asking us to consider, you know, not any particular plans, but going down the line, if we make this zoning change, are we kind of making a mistake or setting us up for some kind of potential difficulty? But given the location, given the properties of the parcel, given the infrastructure, I feel like this satisfies three. Four, the proposed amendment shall be consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies of the comprehensive plan. I myself tried to look through the comprehensive plan and look for policies that might be relevant. And I think there are several for this zoning map amendment. Policy 1.1.5.5 promotes efficient use of resources, compact development patterns, that's what's being proposed here. 1.1.1.3, orderly land use transition, I think this is where the highest density should be allocated next to arterial or collector streets, that's happening here. So I think it kind of is meeting the gaps of the comp plan. The only issue I have with this right now is number one. So number one, we have to promote and protect the public health, safety, and general welfare. I don't have any problem with that, but we have to check whether or not it's consistent with the future land use map. And that's where, personally, you know, when I read the land development code for what the allowed, you know, certain zones are only allowed in certain future land use places, and that's laid out in both the kind of comprehensive plan and land development code. And the land development code in section 14.4.4e says that RC2 is intended for areas which have been assigned MF-HDR. And this is currently MF-MDR. So I am concerned that this doesn't satisfy criteria one. If I look at, I think it's, I don't have mine in front of me, but there's another one for future land use amendments. It's not criteria E, it's criteria A. That would be a land use amendment, I think, if I'm reading that right. And if we go through those criteria, if we imagine changing this from MF-MDR to MF-HDR, I think it satisfies the criteria. So I guess I'm wondering whether I know that you didn't bring forth the future land use change, but is that sort of, would either the city or the applicant be open to that? It feels like that would make this...
Alex, are you saying we're putting the cart before the horse?
It feels a little bit like, at this point, to change the zone without changing the future land use would introduce a potential conflict in Section 1, future land use compatibility.
Okay. We can hear from the applicant. If you'd like to step up to the microphone, state your name and your business address, please, for the record.
The microphone? I'm just making a joke tonight.
Say.
John Adams, RJWA Inc., 8 Broadway, Kissimmee, Florida, 34741. We're the agent for the applicant. We're in agreement with staff's report. Understand you read the comp plan. I think there's one word in there that we need to touch on. It says intended, not restricted. We're not requesting a land use change tonight. We're simply requesting a zoning change. We want to maintain the same density and intensity that's already allowed with that 10 to 20 acres and all the same uses that RC1 that's allowed in the code and all the same setbacks and standards. It's the exact same other than the building height. The higher building height gives us the opportunity to have additional civic space, recreational facilities and open space, and not only that, additional opportunities for parking on the ground floor with units built above. Recently, the South Florida Water Management District has changed its requirements that go into effect at the end of December that we have to plan for now, and it increases the requirements for offsite or nutrient offload that requires dry storage that takes up more physical land. So we've done some conceptual site plans on this, and it's very difficult to meet those standards without going to a higher building height. Now, in the Land Development Code as well, I believe it's 14-4-6-C, which is buffers that apply to anything above two stories that's adjacent to other residential. So those buffers, even with the higher height, means that it needs to essentially be further away from the other existing uses. But as staff pointed out, there's compatible uses to the south and to the north. There's commercial in the northeast corner. Additionally, adjacent to this property is there is some single family residential that's still in the county. However, that's all got a future land use of medium density and intensity. The zoning districts for those sites are actually preceding zoning districts. So if and when those sites were to redevelop, they would have to have increased density as well. So this entire area is increasing and urbanizing. And that's simply what we're asking, is allowing that to happen on an improved county framework road, which is Fortune Road that they've improved, adjacent to a community center within Osceola County that's at the corner of Simpson and Fortune Road. So that's the reason for the request. We don't need the higher density tonight. We're not making that request. It's just that higher building height in RC2 allows us more flexibility to provide the additional stormwater requirement, parking underneath the building, but most importantly, physical raw land to be able to use for your open space requirements and your recreational requirements.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions for the applicants?
I do. How high are you tending to go up? Is it like 5 stories, 2 stories, so, 6?
As of right now, there's no site plan approval. This is still zoning. We've done some preliminary plans. We've only looked at 5 stories, and they've all been up towards Fortune Road, and they've gone lower since. They've gone to the 4 stories. But again, there's no site plan being proposed tonight. Any site plan in the future would have to go through a staff review, come back in front of this board for a recommendation and still go to City Council. That site plan is going to be required to meet your land development code, address buffering, traffic, school capacity, concurrency, and everything. So this is just step one of our request.
Any other, Alex?
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I appreciate your comments, and I think, like you said, it really just hinges on what the land development code means when it says that RC2 is intended for MFHDR, and whether we find that intention to be kind of binding. I guess but a lot of what you said and a lot of what is planned for the parcel, I guess, again, my sort of preliminary look, it feels like you could support a future land use change to MFHDR for all the same reasons, right? A lot of the justifications given were to try to support a more compact development, which does seem like it would also align with MFHDR. So I guess, Why are you sort of opposed to the MFHDR designation rather than RC2? Because otherwise, on the other side of it, like I think you said, is RC1 and RC2 are very similar, and this is, you're permitted to build a lot of what you plan to build in the current area, given the current things for RC1. The only kind of point of contention is RC2, and I mean, that's in there for some reason, right?
Yes, and again, it does say intended, not restricted. So again, our issue is meeting the density requirements at 4 stories. With the new water management requirements, typical plans for apartments were anywhere from 15% to 18% of raw physical land. Now we're coming out at anywhere from 20% to 25% physical land that needs to be accounted for the new water management requirements. So even with if we requested the increased density, we're going to have to go even higher to meet that threshold, and frankly, it's not marketable right now. It's not marketable to go above 4 to 5 stories. And again, this is still very early on in the process. All of those requirements still need to go through a staff review.
Other questions for the applicant? Alex, go ahead.
Not for the applicant. I was just
okay. We get a motion and a second, we'll have a discussion phase. So, do we have any motions regarding
motion to approve
this? We have a motion from Raymond to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second from, tell me your name again.
Javon.
Jade. Right. Okay. Any discussion? Tom.
I'd like to amend that to say that they're not going to change the density.
Okay.
Approval with conditions not to change the density.
But Kelly, you're...
Can't do that.
I don't think that you can do that because
it's code's there.
Just changing the zone.
So that means that when they get this RC2, they could go change the density if they want.
No.
Why not?
Because this is a rezoning. We're not changing the land use and the density.
In order to do that, we'd have to file a comp plan. It'd be a large-scale comp plan because it's above 50 acres. So we'd have to go through a staff review again, come in front of this board, and still go to city council. So right now, we're not requesting any increase in density.
Al, let me just say something. I see the intended in the same way, like in contractual language, the shall versus may. It's not necessarily a must or a shall. I see a difference there. Alex, go ahead.
No, I can understand that argument. I can. It also feels like the intention is there, on purpose, and it feels hard to ignore. And again, I guess, so maybe as like a question, would we be able to approve this condition on there being a future land use amended change? No. So, I mean, I do think it kind of hinges on the one word and what is intended. But if you read the Land Development Code, it does say that RC2 is only intended for MFHDR. MFHDR is the future land use that allows the higher building heights. I misspoke. RC2 allows the higher building heights. It does say that RC2 is intended for.
It doesn't say only intended.
No. It says.
Does not. It says intended. It doesn't say only.
Okay. Intended for use in areas which have been assigned multiple family high density residential future land use designation.
Okay.
The final part of it is, again, everyone says these are very similar zones. The only difference is the height restriction. And, I mean, presumably that distinction was a distinction worth making. We have two zones, RC1 and RC2, and part of what we're deciding is where it's appropriate to have RC1, where it's appropriate to have RC2.
Okay, let me ask the city then, if you know what the reason for that difference was. Do you have any idea? Was it to restrict the height or to Alex's point?
It's height restrictions. And I don't want to go into it too much here, but this is the reason why that there is variation. And we have to have that type of variation in the land development code. It's either height or you open this up for a land use change to increase that density. And we're trying to be a bit mindful of not having to increase that density, because at that point, it's 21. So it's either, again, it's not black and white. So this is varying where we have to consider these types of things. It's increasing the height, but you still have the restriction. They're not increasing the density. And it's a guide. So this is what you have to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Would you prefer, again, increasing the height? He stated their intent of the amount of height. Or you want to open this up to increase more intensity, which means potentially more buildings. And if you more intensity, you can also increase that height. So keep in mind as you go along that it's intended for different projects, case by case basis. So this is how we wanted to present it, to where we didn't want to open this up to have more density. It's just to allow for the height. And that's what you have to consider. And that's the reasoning more clear behind it.
To the point of, while we understand it's about the height, I'm I think I understand correctly. If I'm wrong, Alex, you're wondering, okay, because you're saying for some reason it was that. So do we know the reason specifically?
For certain projects, for higher density, and you don't have much property, mm-hmm. it makes sense mm-hmm. to go mm-hmm. higher. And okay. if you go higher, you can introduce more units.
Okay, gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I will say I am a fan of a smaller footprint. I think that's good for the environment, for the space that you can have for recreation, for whatever, the green space, without going up vertically, but without going up in the density. I like that as a compromise, and I understand what it was, I think, that when they were drawing that distinction. But that's my thoughts. Other discussion?
I would ask.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. Has there been any traffic studies done about how much this would increase in traffic?
Not at this level, but when it goes through the site plan, we'll look at the traffic, and it might be a bit more favorable because of the improvements that's occurring right now, changing it from that rural roadway to an urban. But that will come at the staff level to take a look at the traffic and how it's going to be affected with the improvements to the roadway.
Before I say anything about that, I'll ask if anyone else has anything to say.
And that won't happen until the next step after tonight.
It would be the site plan review with the staff.
Let me just say this, that I travel that road quite a bit going out that way, and it's a nightmare. It was the breaking the eggs to make the omelet getting out there, mm-hmm. but now that they have gotten that part finished, it's
a lot nicer.
I feel a lot better about looking at approving things like this because of the widening of the road than I would have before that. Alex, did you have another comment?
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to, again, I'm sorry I don't have a copy of this, and I'm sorry the monitors don't work, but instead of 14.427, it's actually the one before 14.326. That's the one that has our checklist for future land use things. And I don't have a printout for you, but it's the same. The only difference is that first thing, instead of reading the way that it reads here, it reads the proposed amendment shall promote and protect public health, safety, and general welfare. It doesn't, you know, the future land use doesn't have to be consistent with the future land use. That's the only thing that's different. And I guess I just say that because, again, like, maybe trying to think systematically, I think a lot of the, I know that the city didn't bring forth the plan to increase the density, but a lot of the justifications that were given before us, like the improvements to Fortune Road, the need for more recreational area, I guess I feel like those arguments, we didn't have problems meeting the other three of the criteria, and that it seems like for general safety and public health and general welfare, changing the density wouldn't be opposed to those. So I guess I, again, just to kind of be systematic and put it out there, in so much as it's come up, just to put that.
I appreciate what you're saying, Alex. You want to do it in the proper order as laid out. I think, again, that verbiage gives us enough variance here.
Anyway.
That's my opinion. And also, I think that, that's basically my thoughts on it. And Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. So if this was to go pie in the sky your way, how much time would this add to your project? Have you estimated a pushback in time?
As far as
where you guys are with your next steps and approval and getting everything done of completion for CO?
These are all conceptual site plans right now. There's not any intent to file anything formal just yet. A lot of that deals with the marketability. A lot of apartments aren't marketable right now. However, the wanted this in place for when the market does shift, that they have that opportunity to advance. And I do want to kind of address back to this density and a density increase, that right now it's 10 to 20 currently, and that's what we would like to stay at. And part of that goes into a compatibility. And just to the east of us in the county, it's a medium density and intensity land use. And in the county, that's 8 to 18 acres. And then at the corner of Simpson and Fortune Road is a community center. And the core of the community center, which would be located there, that's 18 to 30, but that's on a core of two major framework roads. So as we get further from that community center, that density should trickle down, and that's why we'd like to stay in that 10 to 20, and then we're buffered with the turnpike to the west of us, and then additional compatible density to the north and to the south. So that's another reason why we want to stay compatible into that zone.
Anything else? So you don't know how high it could potentially
The only site plans we've looked at, again, were five stories.
Because I'm thinking if we really want to make our mark in Austin, can anybody look up with the Burj Khalifa how tall if we, really, okay. Anyway, okay, so.
This request gives this property the opportunity for it.
Okay, I will ask for all in favor. Wait, Mayor Tom, Fairwell. Did you officially
163
want
floors?
To, you can do it. Okay,
163 floors.
163 floors. Okay.
I do certainly hope not.
Two units of Florida.
okay, so I will ask all in favor of the motion to approve. Please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Please say no.
No.
We have all in favor, one no. We have one, two, three, four, five aye, and one no.
Thank you.
Your motion carries. Thank you. Sorry, referring to my phone for the agenda again. Okay, public hearings, discussion, 7A, Rosenberg's Rules of Order. This was something that Alex had brought up a few months ago as a possible change to working with Robert's Rules of Order to using Rosenberg's, which is a lot fewer pages, more streamlined, some differences, and we have that as discussion. Alex, do you want to start that?
Well, so yeah, I guess I'm, it's listed as discussion again, but I did give public notice that I would make a motion. So I do have a copies of that for everybody as well. It's the same one you saw sort of last time that got tabled. I just changed the date for today's date. But
can I make really quickly that part of the problem that we are having is that the motions are not clear. Okay? So it's very difficult for us to figure out when a motion and amend a motion. So for staff, it's been very difficult because there's multiple motions and there's amending, so it's been very difficult.
Confusing.
And confusing. So you can give it, that's fine, I have to. It's been very confusing. So I do have to publicly state that, especially for the last meeting and with the different, it's very confusing. So it would help us if there is one motion, complete that first before we have amendments halfway through. It's very confusing. So I know there was something about even on the election too, it's not very clear. So I do have to apologize, but it's not clear, and that's one of the reasons why we don't have the minutes available from last minute meeting.
I have
we
them,
also
Alex.
Were notified by Tamara that there were some audio issues that I'll talk about too, but it was very, very difficult. And we could not complete the minutes because of it was very confusing.
Okay, so we need to make sure that we are stating succinctly our motions clearly.
Again, clearly.
And yep. Make sure that the clerk has
this. The irony is that this is what I think Alex is trying to address.
Yeah. Okay. But in any case, whether it's a motion with Rosenberg's or Roberts,
It doesn't matter. It's been
concisely, succinctly, clearly, yes. And so the clerk knows word for word what is being motioned in the future. I will endeavor to make sure to help you to help us, for sure.
Can I ask?
Sorry, I have more. So,
yes, I will absolutely get. Let me just let him continue.
No, I still got a hint. Thanks.
Go ahead.
My only question as a clarification for myself, being new to this board and in general, if a board member makes a motion, can a different board member amend someone else's motion, or does the original member who made that motion have to make that amendment?
So I think this is a fantastic way to launch into a discussion of rules of order, if people are good with that. Is that okay? Or
that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Either Roberts or Rosenberg's, any member can make a motion, including motions to amend the standing motion. That's my idea.
Yeah, so somebody could jump in, like what could have happened here before,
right,
and amend what was on the floor, but that would have to be seconded also.
Right.
Under Roberts, not under Rosenberg's. Brendan, yes?
Yes, and just from a past and how the board has done it in the past to where there was a motion, and you wait whether or not there was a second, and if there's not, instead of amending, you just make another motion.
We would have to state that it dies without a second.
Yeah.
And then
another
motion could be made.
So that's how it, yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, for city commission, that's the way that they also do it too.
You mean rather than amending the motion on the floor?
They let it die.
But I guess.
Mm-hmm. Hold. I'm trying to explain it first, because I know we're introducing a new order, but it's talking about how we have done it to where if there's not a second, that motion fails, and then you open it up on there and not amend it. And that's how city commission does it too.
I'll get you, Julius, for public comment. Give me just a second. Let me get Alex here, and then.
So I guess, I mean, are we okay to go into discussion about this item? And I have a PowerPoint. It's obviously hard to see the PowerPoint, but I'm happy to talk. I'm sorry I didn't print copies of the PowerPoint for everybody, but I'm more than happy to kind of make the case and try to talk about the distinctions if we're happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we are here for, discussion. I do want to open up to any public comments regarding this. Did you have anything else to add right now to clarify this before we ask for public?
Yeah, I think so.
Comment?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, I had slides. Unfortunately, I do not have copies of the slide, but what I did try to give everybody is another copy of Rosenberg's rules, so you have it, the 10-page PDF. I in an attempt to make the motion as clear as possible, I typed it up and gave everybody a copy of a written version of the motion that I made the public notice, gave the city a copy last time, sent an email before that, sent an email after the last meeting. I tried to make it as clear as possible, the details of the motion. So I'm proposing that we change our rules of order from Robert's rules of order to Rosenberg's. And primarily, I believe that this is a good idea because confusion is a weapon, but clarity is a shield. Basically, I feel like, to try to make it brief, I mean, Robert's Rules of Order is this 707-page book. It includes 98 different kinds of motions that we can make. It costs $19. It's not free. There are no free bills. But it is the most popular rules of order made for different boards. But I guess as the kinds of things that you need to consider is for every motion in Robert's Rules of Order, there's a class for the motion, there's the order when another has the floor, whether or not it can be seconded, debatable, amendable, the type of vote required for different motions, and whether or not it can be reconsidered. So as a bit of a pop quiz, under Robert's Rules, motion number 13 is to amend something previously adopted general case, including ordinary standing rules, 35. And my pop quiz is, what class is that motion? Does anybody know? So that one happens to be a incidental main motion classed with motions that bring a question again before the assembly.
I was going to say that.
Yeah,
you,
I was
you
right
beat me to it.
And then the question is, what vote did that one need? You know that one, Robert?
It doesn't come to mind at the moment.
Yeah, that one happened to be a majority with notice, but if you didn't give notice, it's 2/3 or a majority of the entire membership.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yep, right there. So that's number 13. You know, there's a lot more in here. I mean, just as another example, motion 29 is to consider by paragraph or seriatim, 28. And do you have a guess for what class that one is?
12, no.
That's a good guess. It's incidental. That one's incidental.
Okay, not a
so,
number, but a 12.
So that's part of my problem, is Robert's Rules is really complicated.
It's complicated.
And Rosenberg's Rules is meant to be a simplification of Robert's Rules. When Robert first decided to make rules of order, it was because he was stuck at a meeting all night, went into the late morning, he thought that meetings need to be sort of efficient, they need to stay in the business, and they deserve some rules. He wrote up his rules of order, and his first rules of order was about 10 pages. But since 1876, it has sort of grown and turned into this Bible. Because it's meant to be the rules of order for everything from national congresses to small boards like ours. Rosenberg's rules was designed by a parliamentarian, registered parliamentarian, Rosenberg, who was a mayor of a city, and recognized that these rules are
cumbersome.
Difficult. Nobody knows them, nobody reads them, and that creates a problem, because if you don't know what rules you're sort of governed by, you don't know what you're allowed to do, it makes it hard for the board to act. I guess, like, specifically in both Roberts and Rosenberg's rules, you are allowed to make motions to amend existing motions. That's part of the procedures. In fact, this is an instance in which Rosenberg rules simplifies, because in Roberts rules, there's no restriction to how many motions the board can be considering at a time. One of the very few distinctions is in Rosenberg's, we're limited to three. We can only be talking about three things at a time. Otherwise, we need to deal with the least pending ones. In Rosenberg's rules, hopefully everyone got a chance to read it. I tried to make it available many times. I think it's very easy to read. I think it makes it very clear how the board should run. Another thing in Rosenberg's that isn't in Roberts is a sort of a general recommendation for exactly how we should present an item. And I think if you looked at that, it's the way that we operate right now, right? We read the motion, we invite public comment, we go through that whole procedure. That isn't actually in Roberts' rules, but Rosenberg's makes a recommendation that is consistent with the way that we work. Rosenberg's rules, you know, its principles are that rules should establish order, they should be clear, they should be user-friendly, and they should enforce the will of the majority while protecting the rights of the minority. I think that's sort of a great set of goals. When we've discussed it before, two things have kind of been raised as potential issues that I would like to address. So one is the recognition in Rosenberg's rules that a second isn't strictly required, and it's left up to the justification of the chair. And there was some discussion of whether or not that's appropriate. Now, I went back and checked, and it's actually the case that in Robert's rules, section 4921, no seconds are required at all. And it's not the discussion, it's not up to the jurisdiction of the chair at all. There's an entire chapter 49 in this book is governing boards that are 12 or less people, of which we are one. And it says that I could read it. In a board meeting where there are not more than about a dozen members present, some of the formality that is necessary in a large assembly would hinder business. The rules governing such meetings are different from the result that hold in other assemblies in the following respects. One, members may raise a hand instead of standing when seeking to obtain the floor. So if you didn't know that, in Robert's rules, you always have to stand. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in a small board like we are. Two, motions need not be seconded, and that is unconditional in Robert's rules. And three, there's no limit to the number of times a member can speak, and there's several other restrictions. So that's just one example where Robert's rules, this talks about different rules for boards, for committees, for large assemblies, for secondary assemblies, meeting outside of their agenda. It's a complicated thing. Rosenberg's rules, I think, simplify. So specifically with the seconding, Rosenberg also says that you don't necessarily need a second. They leave it up to the discretion of the chair. I feel as though that ought to be appropriate with seven people, and there's no real danger because Rosenberg allows for a motion to object to consideration, which if there really only was one person and the chair decided to move ahead, everybody else could just, with a two-thirds vote, shut down that motion. I didn't mention, I gave out these other handouts. What I tried to provide was I made these cheat sheets for Rosenberg's rules. I gave two copies, one is a one-pager, and then this one is kind of the same thing, but I made it two-sided and made it even larger and easier to read. But what I tried to do was here provide like a handy-dandy reference that might make it easy for people to understand. You'll notice that in Rosenberg's rules, unlike the sort of 98 motions that are possible, there are only 17. And I think they correspond to all the ones that we've ever heard of. I guess in general, I tried to comb through both and really try to find things that were present in one and not the other. And really, there's not really much of anything in Rosenberg's that isn't also in Roberts. The only exceptions I could find were, one, the simplification that we can only consider three things at a time, and two, this notion of a friendly amendment. So in Rosenberg's rules, if during discussion it's sort of clear that something could change, then if both the person who made the motion and the second agree, it just kind of goes in, and we don't necessarily have to vote on it. Although, if anyone objects, you can force it to be an ordinary motion. So that's just a thing to kind of help to aid things out. And that is not in Robert's Rules. That's one of really the only distinctions I can find. I mean, there's a lot more things in Robert's Rules that aren't in Rosenberg's, but not the sort of other way around. So I guess the other thing worth mentioning is, there was some discussion about abstentions. As far as the rules of procedure go, both Roberts and Rosenberg's allow for abstentions and make clear that abstentions sort of don't count for the vote. But that's actually not relevant to us, because both in the motion that I'm making today and in city code, no matter what we do, we can't violate city or state law. And it is Florida Statute 286.012 that we cannot abstain unless we have a conflict of interest. That's just part of Florida statutes. Mm-hmm. We are not allowed to abstain from votes as a member of a public board. So that sort of doesn't apply to us unless there's a real conflict of interest. So I don't think that introduces any sort of complication. We are explicitly allowed under city code to change our own rules of procedure. That's in city code section 2211. That was not that one. It's 210, sorry. 211. The Planning Advisory Board shall make its own rules of procedure and determine its time of meeting. All meetings of the Planning Advisory Board shall be open to the public, and records of the Planning Advisory Board shall be made public record. So I feel as though I can shut up now, but we're allowed to do this. I really think it's a simplification. I think it's a lot easier to understand what's going on. I think it would. Another thing that's present in Rosenberg's rules and not present in Robert's rules is the ending bit about special notes of public input, which I think is great. It says that what we ought to do is, one, tell the public what we're doing, two, keep the public informed while we're doing it, and three, when the body is active, tell the body what we did. And I think those are all great ideas.
I'm going to ask if anybody else has any comments or questions, and then I'm going to open up to public, i.e. Julius's comment. Let me just get these guys and step up. Raymond, go ahead.
Do we honestly feel this is going to make our meetings shorter? Because I respectfully don't think that's enough. But number two, that's my opinion, by the way. Number two, I know in the last meeting you said that Rosenberg's is used in the state of Florida. When I did my own research, I don't see a single governmental body of any sort, from municipality, state, or federal, or any committee that has it in the state of Florida. It's only HOAs and similar. So if you have any of that information to rebut, I'd appreciate that. But I don't see any governing body that is municipal, state, or federal that uses that in the state of Florida. So in my, again, personal opinion, so the continuity of a governing body should use the same rules of order that the other governing bodies use. I don't see why we would have to be special. I know this comes from California, but we can still be unanimous in that thought process. I'm going to say it again. I don't think it's going to make our meetings that much more efficient, just judging by my first meeting and this meeting.
Jay.
Yeah, so I get the whole thing about making it more simple because we are a smaller board. And being my first meeting, I would ask the rest of you, how complex do these situations get? And I also have another question is, does the city recommend or support one over the other? You guys have a recommendation on this?
I would support Raymond the same thing. Want to mirror the God of body, want the experience to be the same. I understand there's 98 motions without the city coalition, these 98 motions. So I think it's the same thing. I think that any citizen or any individual that goes to a city commission meeting should be able to go to any advisory board. It should be run the same. They know the order, they know when. We know, sorry, with the stuff today, one for public comment. And then I want to reiterate too as well that there's also some policies too. The governing body, our city commission, establishes policy. I understand currently right now that they can still, again, have the ability to set in policy And even though it gives our planning advisory ability right now, I can say all the worst for our residents. So I tend to agree to as well, even though there's IEA, I see the relevance of efficiency. I don't see any in a given with them in the minutes. I don't think it has to do with water. I think it has to do more so analysis than discussions. I think about water is the issue. I think it's the discussion. And I think that's what change. I think reductions are still going to be the same, but water is not going to be.
Let's take public comments. Julius, you want to step up, state your name and your address for the record. You'll have 3 minutes. Sure.
Mr. Chair, I need to thank you. Or Julius Melendez, 211 Wildwood Street. I used to be on the school board. We actually had this exact discussion, and we had very side-based conversations, very long conversations. To be honest with you, what we did was we adopted Robert's Rules, because that's where it was, which one recommend that says new, but it was a guide. We had specific policies for things that our discussions weren't on. So we created our own specific items. For instance, on debate, and they're saying, okay, even swirling board members, they have 3 minutes, they introduce it, they have a plug out, a bottle, and then a closing. So the point is that even if you have Robert's Rules of Order, not everything has to be very made out securely as Robert Beale's Field of Art. You, the 40s that I won, you have to really create your own rule. So if something is really confusing, you can outline and get it corrected. One of the reasons I got me started wonder was when you talk about amending motions. What we used to do as a partisan, I motion for a school gift bill. And somebody says, well, I amend it because I'm going to get built with Jim, right? As a premise, again, not just things to be written out. You guys, honestly, touch us as school. We would even ourselves say as courtesy, would go back to a virtual wall share and just ask them. It's going to be Robert's Rules of Order. Thank you, vendor host. Would you be considering the hiding that? Just talk to each other. You guys are professionals. You'd be nice to do that. So it's start to think, even if they disagree, but you guys are, just talk to each other. So you don't need a rule to tell you how to talk to each other. Now, if you need that, that's all different discussion. But you don't try to say, in other words, I created the motion, so I'm asking the amendment. Before we voted on, you went out to accept the amendment. The person creating the amendment would, as a person, ask the originator of the motion, hey, would you be willing to consider that? And I go, okay, what? That's a good idea. Okay, then the person that's doing it say, I'm going to strike down my own motion, and I'm going to create a new motion to include adding a gymnasium to building a new school. And that way it's nice and clean. Staff knows exactly what's happening. The original motion is basically restating their motion, basically striking down the original one. So there doesn't have to be a vote to strike it down, make the vote, amend it. And because sometimes, like you said, arbitrary rules is pretty complicated. And then in the school board, actually put there, we're generally following Robert's Rules of Order. We're as strictly adhering to every word lies the mind. And if there was an issue that came up often, then we would say, okay, that's going to be the new policy. So that way everybody knows about it. Because, you could say, we follow Robert's Rules of Order. But in this specific instance, whenever we introduce a new motion, I'm just making that up, would be just write that down and put it down. Hey, here's the exception. And the exception has to be justify it, and then your blade cap goes out. So I think that's the biggest thing. Now with amended, the amendments can fly. Because I'm gonna get amendment to amendment. And at that point, we just say, okay, right guys, let's start refresh. Then you start refresh and you go, okay, I think there's too much. Then you need stat. And then also that's where the chairman runs the board too. He goes, hey, stat, you get your stat, it's happening? Communicate. But just mean that out there some major wars on school boards, so I feel like we're being
said. What do you mean? What?
Yes. So then to me that helps. So and then also that's also contingent upon staff, respectfully courteous, they're saying, hey, don't let it run away from me. So I hate to say this, I've been very blunt. You shouldn't have had a meeting go where you don't understand the minutes. No, the minutes are written. If you don't do your ask your board while you're there in your life, you say, hey guys, wait a second, because we did that all the time. Our school board attorney, our secretary would interact. our secretary's writing in this, hey, oh, board, excuse me, you know, it's, I don't understand what the heck is going on. You know, can we guys please make it clearly? I'm writing it down, or I can't write it fast enough, or sometimes the audio is unclear. Because we had folks now in Iraq, actually was in Iraq. Then I had to go over in Iraq, and the audio wasn't clear. And they said, Mr. Lomax, I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you, can you repeat, you know, it's like, so it, again, not everything has to be done. Is, not everything has to be codified. Like you mentioned, whether it's Robert's rules or Rosenberg, we're still the same people. You know what I mean? And so, and you're right. I do kind of agree with staff. You know, you do want some degree of uniform. You know what I mean? That is true. That if I come here, then I, as a concerned citizen, it is nice to know that there's a certain consistency. And if there is a deviation from that consistency that's written down, it's very specific. You know, it's not deviating everything. It's deviating maybe one thing. You know what I mean? And that's my last comment, if I can, for 2 seconds. But on one of the things that he mentioned before, on the last item that the developer was developing, he mentioned item A, B, C, D, E. Probably, man, this is the item said that every single thing has to be 100%. And if it's 98% there, are we really killing the motion for something that's 98%? Done, except for one tiny HBD and ECB letter, but everything else I've made, that's why you're an advisory board. Think about it. If it was that prescriptive and that specific, why can't you even vote on it? You know, staff made the recommendation, then you go, okay, and that's a good analysis. But to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to vote more on something because it doesn't meet 100% of every single criteria that's out there and that he's called anything ever. And I could talk forever, but I do appreciate it. And that you know that it is very important for you guys to have communication from us and each other. And like I said, if there's an amendment, just ask the originator of the amendment, hey, do you mind modifying it? You'll force a vote on it, because then it creates the rules of absurdities. You know what I'm saying? So out of courtesy, just ask the originator, are you open to it? Because that's like a polling. It's legally polling, as long as it's in the sunshine, you're doing it. You're not pulling behind someone. You're pulling out a polling meeting itself. Directly there for an interview with the microphone. So if I'm the originator, you really disagree with it, let them know right then and there. Don't even let the debate go further. That what you said, if you're concerned about efficiency, if you don't believe in that amendment, ask them, are you open to modifying your origination? He'll tell you, no, I'm not going to modify it. And that's okay. And he has a reason. I can do what you stand. You don't have to wait for 5 minutes later on meeting a meeting, and he'll tell you right then and there. No, the ordinance might modify my original movement. Then you have to consider it. Well, why introduce 5 minutes? And again, now I apologize for going over. It's just like I have that experience. You know, and everybody knows that down in school board, we've been through a few battles, you know, and that really helps them out.
Thank you, Julius. Thank you. What I'm going to do, Jay, I saw your hand. I'm going to, and then Raymond, we'll get some final comments here. And then I want to move to ask for a motion, and we will have discussion at that point as well. So I will ask up front, though. Do you want to make your comments now or wait till a discussion phase if we have motion?
I'll make them now.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm in favor of keeping Robert's Rules of Order. One of the reasons as a new board member I did volunteer to be here was because it is Robert's Rules of Order. And when you're dealing with policy and bylaws, that's what it is, right? So, and I also appreciate the city's recommendation as well. So I'm in favor of keeping Robert's Rules of Order, especially when you're dealing with complex situations.
I saw Raymond's hand, and then Alex, if you've got something or anybody else. Go ahead, Raymond.
I just want to say, regardless of how this vote, if it goes to a vote, goes, what I would like to see, and he kind of inspired Julius, whatever the outcome is, if it's a possibility to do a workshop. If we're going to do Rosenberg's, I feel like we should do a workshop to really drill down into it in education across the board. If we keep Robert's Rules, maybe we can do a workshop, a refresher in education, and there maybe propose things that we can do housekeeping, like maybe for efficiency's sake, giving time limits to speakers and stuff like that. No matter the outcome, my suggestion would be we propose a workshop in the future for education for either rules of orders and identify legal ways to have efficiencies added to this board and have legal representation from the city to help guide us through those.
Alex, did you have something else?
Yeah, if I could address some of the points that were brought up. There is a municipality for that uses Rosenberg Foods. It's Belle Isle. I spoke to the city staff there, including the city manager, Rick Rudimenke.
they've been using it for years. He personally came to Bile Isle from a larger organization. He hadn't heard of Greensburg Tools, but the city had already adopted it throughout their boards. And at first he was skeptical, he wasn't used to it, it was this new thing, he didn't know what it was. But when I talked to him, he said it's been a real boon to the city. It has increased a level of participation on the boards. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody has a sense of how it works. And he's seen that work really well. And he is going to take it with him to other organizations, small organizations that he goes with. So just to address that first, it is used in Florida. I've heard recommendations that we try to, I agree with what everyone is saying, that we ought to adopt our own rules of procedure, including simpler ones. And that is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get us to adopt a simpler set of rules of procedure that I think would make the board work better. Another point is I heard the gentleman from the public basically make the case for a friendly amendment being a good idea. No, talk to the person who made the amendment, ask them to change it. That sounds great. And that is allowed under Rosenberg's rules. That is what a friendly amendment is. That is explicitly forbidden under Robert's rules. Section 1291, friendly amendment, says that regardless of whether or not the maker of the main motion accepts the amendment, it must be open to debate and voted on formally, unless adopted by unanimous consent, as handled under the same rules of amendments generally. See sections 33(11) to 19. So I agree. That's the thing that's a little crazy making me is I agree with all the sentiments that we really ought to simplify things. I agree with the sentiment that something like a friendly amendment is a nice idea that's explicitly forbidden right now under Robert's rules. But we didn't know that because we didn't read it. But it is allowed under Rosenberg's. I heard some arguments about uniformity and the public's expectations. I would love if Kissimmee adopted Rosenberg's rules generally. I think we could show them that whether they are or are not effective. I don't expect it to have a negative impact on artwork. We could easily make copies of Rosenberg's rules available to the public to come in, and in the sort of 10 minutes when we're setting up, they could read it and understand exactly how our board works and is expected to operate and what would be expected or allowed for them. That is not true if we made copies of Robert's rules available in the back. I guess maybe also, because there were some questions about requirements, could I ask the city lawyer, do you see any issues with adopting Rosenberg's rules in terms of like legal requirements or anything?
Please.
Okay, Randy Jessen.
Thank you for providing the municipality that adopted it. But it sounds like, in your example, the city adopted it, then the boards, not the other way around.
Ding.
Is that correct? So that was your first point. So your third point about uniformity, it goes again to that. The city adopted it, then it trickled down, not a small committee for a small board, and then trying to show the city. I appreciate what you're saying and everything that you've educated about. To your own point, if the city of Kissimmee wanted to go down this route and then adopted it, then I could certainly see the boards that deal with the city trickling into adopting it as well. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
I'm going to say that I don't like getting bogged down in procedure to where it slows things down. In my experience here with the board, I don't know that anything in Robert's rules has been anything that really slowed the process or made it inefficient. If there's anything that somebody can point out, I'm happy to hear that. Let me clarify this, Kalani. Is Robert's rules of order, yes, it's rules and it's the policy of the city, but it's not the law, right? It's not a law that we follow it word for word, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So there is just
law.
It's a guideline.
Procedure.
It's a guideline,
yes.
Right? Okay. So with that, with that said, and kind of a hybrid of what you're saying, Raymond, I like, and Colin, it has done some sessions in the past where you've outlined Robert's Rule salient points and sunshine laws and that sort of thing. And with new board members, that's probably a good idea to revisit that sometime in the near future. And
sunshine binding.
Yes, sunshine is a law. This is a guideline. I'm wondering if there's some room here for basically that. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, you're not looking for Rosenberg's TM trademark. We have to use this. It's the spirit of this, and it's what it says that you think makes sense, whether it's Rosenberg's or Joe's or whatever. It's the information contained therein. So could we, in staying consistent with the city and using Robert's Rules of Order, could we, to Raymond's point, do a kind of a hybrid thing here, if you're doing a session and workshop, where we look at it and say, okay, what are the salient points that we want to use from Roberts that we are consistent with here as a board that really we could use Rosenberg's also as a guideline of seeing, okay, look at this, how they do it. Can we look at doing that to streamline it, but still adhering? Because if we can make our own policies, and Roberts is not a law, but it's a guide, could we not take what is useful and not discard the rest, but maybe just focus on what is useful? Kaladan.
Correct.
Okay.
I think that's why Alex was trying to introduce that.
Go ahead.
I think you guys need to just, at this point, you just make a decision.
Make a motion. Okay. So I'm thinking there is a way we can achieve what Alex wants to do, and yet stay within the confines.
It can, you know, I'm not trying to be a mother, but I think Alex is trying to simplify things, and they get it. It's not traditional, and you guys, it's up to you to vote. Just in.
Okay. So I'm going to ask for any motions. You have the motion.
I believe I've already given public notice.
Okay.
If you want, I can read the exact wording for the record.
Well, we have it in front of us. Let's make sure that the clerk has the exact verbiage that you're intending in your motion. And is it the motion is right here.
And these motions permitted not to act speaking of sobeying readiness, but just...
You mean in the minutes? They don't have to be spelled out. Okay.
Well, I just...
Based on, let me finish. This is sitting conversation that we confer with the clerk's office. So this is why we need to kind of work on this, where the minutes do not have to be verbatim.
Okay.
We're talking about semantics. That's the model.
Okay. But... What I want to be clear on is, does the clerk have what you need from this motion?
Yes.
Okay. And the motion is on, Alex, the motion is on the floor. You're making this motion, yes?
Making this motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Linda. Now we have discussion. I'm going to start the discussion by saying I see room where we can achieve the spirit of what Alex is saying, yet still using Robert's rules, but that would need to be another meeting and a session within that. That's my comment. Any other comments? Discussion? Jay?
Yeah, at the other boards, you know, we'll do a get-together retreat lunch to get the rapport up between the members. But it all falls back on
can't do that.
Well, the spirit of conversation.
Can't have conversation.
Conversation, sunshine.
The workshop to go through the rules of order, and that way you have some fun with some motions, right? And practice Robert's Rules of Order, and everybody learns how to communicate through the what's used nationally as the most informative for argumentative discussion.
That would be, you're saying, within the context of a meeting, have an item that's in a meeting and it's published. Okay.
Raymond. Again, what he was just saying, no matter how this motion turns out, my ask would be if we can do a workshop for either rules of order and on a personal note, like, this isn't personal, Alex. Yeah, I really commend your spirit and all that, and you know, I don't want you to think that everyone is ganging up on you. This nothing personal.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say no.
No.
No. and that was two no's and...
I said yes.
You said...
I like Rosa Shoy.
Okay, so let's see.
So when we take a... I'll call for a roll call.
Roll call. Clear. Fall roll call.
Okay, go ahead.
So it's got a roll call.
Bellini?
To clarify... What motion? The motion to...
Your motion.
My motion. Aye.
Tom Kemp.
No.
Who's it?
No. Nay.
Lopez?
Nay.
Lee. Brock?
Yay.
Ames. Sanchez?
No.
Okay. Motion is defeated. Sorry, I got to pull up my phone again for the agenda. Here, chairman and board members.
So, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Hear me. I don't have anything. Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
Okay. Last meeting, we made and passed a motion. This was the motion to hold the election for the chair and vice chair.
It's okay. I thought we were going to wait until we had a full board. That's what I tried to intend to say, that there was the quote, let me finish, please, so that way we can succinctly and briefly and try to finish. Now, there was some confusion between the motion because there was an amendment that we were going to wait until we had a full board. And then there was another amendment that jumps to usual as a Congress or Republican what that means. So right now, it was not clear, then just thought it taught us to wait until the capital wars. It was not clear. So I do apologize.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman, there's not a motion on the floor. There's no, we can't discuss this until we make the motion.
Hold on, I'm going to allow her to finish that, and...
Well, they just said that...
Go ahead.
Colorado's, and that the minutes from the last meeting are not repaired because, one, there was confusion, it was not clear. And two, we got even from city clerk's office that the audio also was not clear. Caleb also attempted during that meeting to interject where he said, to your point, the 47th tier thing said, or was pleased, she who said the motion's not clear, tried to attempt to have clear motion. So she did. So I do apologize that it was not clear, it was confusing. And so we thought the motion was made to not bring it back until we have a full
process. Okay, Alex, go ahead.
So, I guess, this is sort of difficult. Under Robert's rules, Where are we, Mr. Chair? I mean, we're sort of not allowed to... I can understand the consent. I'm trying to keep things germane to the current issue, but yes, I think what the city just expressed was, you know, the meeting that we had last time, the city has still not updated the provisional minutes. It has another day. It only included our vote on the Yates Road property. It didn't include any of the other actions we took. And the recording, although it's usually posted in kind of a reasonable amount of time, the recording for our meeting, when I checked earlier today, still has not been posted. The city commission last night heard the Yates Road item, which was something we as a board voted unanimously to recommend against. We are required under Florida state law and city code to make recommendations to the city commission. With very provisional minutes and a lack of recording, it's hard for me to understand how that recommendation is transmitted. Especially considering that when the city gave their presentation before the commission, they did not mention that we voted unanimously to recommend rejection. I, put in a public records request, because our meetings are public, to obtain a recording of the meeting, and made a copy of that recording publicly available, and emailed the City Commission to not express my personal opinion, to point out that in their agenda packet, we unanimously recommended rejection, and that I believe I felt as though they should have access to our reasoning, and gave them a link to the recording. I feel as though that's part of what the city was trying to address. With regards to things not being clear, I apologize on that part. They made every effort to make everything very clear. I typed up written forms for all the motions. I gave copies of the written form to the city, the clerk, and everybody. It was asked for me to restate the amendment. I think there was some confusion at the order. I restated the motion to amend the motion, I think, clearly. I read it sort of out loud in the meeting. That we're talking about this one. I represented on this new copy of the strikeout for Rosenberg's rules. I stated that clearly. We voted on it, and we approved this motion. Sorry, I didn't add this up here.
Covered.
I didn't finish handing this up. But this is a amended copy of the motion that I made at the previous meeting that we discussed, debated, voted on, and passed. And you'll notice that this motion says that we would schedule nominations and elections. We would request that the city make it an agenda item and direct the open nominations at the beginning of this meeting and confirm that going forward you would
I also, and I was somebody that I do favor elections for chair and vice chair. I supported that, still do. But I also, I guess I'm confused because I was under the impression that we wanted to do it when everyone was here, all the new board members, so that we, so that everybody had a say in who was going to chair the meetings. I thought that's what we did. I don't remember the exact verbiage, but again, I support it. I support an election, but with the idea that everybody who is on this board has a say-so and a vote in it. And I thought that's what we decided. I thought we did decide that.
And that was why it was on. That was really my understanding. I'd received the emails, but in listening back, but the termination was that you missed a pull back into it.
I'm sorry, again, following Roberts or Rosenberg's, I do this. I'm going to ask if anybody else has a recollection of how that went. Raymond, go ahead.
My recollection from the last meeting, I remember Kayla asking many times for a point of clarification, as there was kind of two things going at once, and it kind of ended there. And the conversation that I remember towards the end of that was to wait until the board was full and then vote, because it didn't make sense to restructure and vote for a board of like three people.
Does anybody else have anything else they want to add or say? Go ahead, Alex.
I guess respectfully, we have now agreed that we're following Robert's Rules of Order. A motion was made, an amendment was made, we voted and accepted the amendment, we voted and accepted the motion. There was never an amendment made to push back discussion, push back the vote button until more people were present. My recollection is that we had that discussion, and I tried to point out that part of the reason I phrased this motion this way, saying that it should appear on the agenda and that we should do it at the next meeting, was because I wanted to afford an opportunity for the board to show up. We have a fantastic, everybody's here, you know?
Okay.
Because somebody was appointed last night, right?
No, he's here. He's here.
We're missing.
So we have another member.
It's still true we have a fantastic turnout given our recent history. It is also true, you know, as stated in the background for the motion, that we are tasked, shall, I mean, there was discussion, the Planning Advisory Board shall annually elect a chair.
We have not done that in over a year, and we currently lack a vice chair. So I thought it was pertinent, but still trying to be respectful of the board and an opportunity for everybody to show up, I made the motion in this form that we announced that we would have at the next meeting. We are in an awkward position because despite, again, I think according to procedure, adopting this motion, it did not appear on the agenda. And so we're in this awkward place where we made a motion to do it and it didn't.
Okay, let me ask for clarification with this. Kalanit, if it is not on the agenda published, is it something we can or cannot vote on if it's not published?
We can vote.
We can vote, even though it's not published on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, publicly.
Yes. No new business. Although point of order, I'm not even suggesting that we vote again on this motion. I thought it was passed. I'm suggesting that we act on this motion, that we do what we said we would do. That's all nominations.
Okay,
that's what I was going to ask.
Stop our schools.
Did we vote on it? Because I don't remember. I remember two different things going at once with a lot of conversation. So I'm personally unclear, and I was here at the last meeting. This specific motion, did it have a vote? And what was that outcome? Number two, real quick while I have the floor. New board members here, can anyone enlighten what are the qualifications for these seats? Because I don't want to vote on something I don't even know what people are qualified for as far as a requirement.
Yeah, go ahead.
On it to be on board of order.
Yeah.
At least he.
Okay.
That one then the Sterling and the, yeah.
Okay. Tom, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you want to share what your recollection of that was.
I recollect that they wanted to deal with a full board, but since we don't have any of a nomination board, we have this many people, we just need to vote on it. I mean, why do we need to wait another 2 months for another person to show up? And then they're brand new, they don't know anything either.
Okay.
So, I mean, why can't we do
it? If we don't have to have it published 3 days in advance or whatever to vote on, then, Alex, are you...
I would love to make a nomination if you're opening up. I nominate Robert Bussier as our chair. That does not require a second according to Robert's rules.
I'll second it anyway.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor and a second, Alex and Tom Kapp. Raymond, go ahead. We'll have a discussion. This will be the point of order. Go ahead.
No, but was there an answer to my question? Was there a vote at the last meeting regarding this specific motion?
There was.
There were two votes, one to Penn State, then Annapolis City, and to
Connecticut.
Based on what mean that again, it was not that did we be the base to voting on.
So it was not voted on.
But if he's making the motion tonight and it's not a legal requirement that it's published, he's making the motion now, we could just go forward with the vote. So we have the motion on the floor, we have the second, and any other discussion? Alex, go ahead.
I think you are a fantastic chair. I think you have done a great job to add a level of professionalism to this board. I really appreciate that you make every effort so that everybody has the right to speak. I think you've done a great job, and I would love to see you continue in our world.
Thank you. And I will ask, if I am elected, please make sure anybody sees something I'm doing wrong, call me out on it. It's not about me looking good or my ego, which I have one, but... I want to do it right, so please, I continue to ask that. So if there's nothing else, I'll ask.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead. Mr. Chair, if there's anything I think you do wrong, you should kind of tell me to shut up more often.
Well. I will ask for a vote on the nomination. Can I not abstain on this?
I have a question.
Yeah, Jake, go ahead.
So my question is on Robert's Rules of Order. Usually the president doesn't vote unless there's a tiebreak.
Natasha.
Is that the same as in this board?
I think so. I am happy to abstain from that.
Garrett, just abstain.
Yeah, I'm going to abstain. So all in favor of the nomination, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say no. Hearing none, carries. I'm elected, I guess. So... does anyone want to make a motion regarding the vice chair position? If not, I'm going to ask if anybody else has anything they want to discuss or say tonight.
I'm sorry.
There's only one person who's allowed.
Let me get
can run.
Yeah.
Isn't there only one person who can run? I mean, I'm fairly new.
If you had to have been on chair.
Alex is the only one chair.
Oh, that's for chair, but vice chair doesn't have to be a year. Okay, all right.
No.
Does on chair has to be on the work and he's doing chair, right, needs to be a year.
So I think if we look at the city code, let's pull it up.
We don't need to pull it up. Because the chair and vice chair has to serve for a year. That doesn't change. On its, again, maybe prayer or turn on the work these.
Hi, I'm sorry, point of art. Can I read City Code Section 2-211B?
Read it.
The Planning Advisory Board shall elect its chair and vice chair from among its voting members. Planning Advisory Board members, however, are required to serve on the board for 1 year before they are eligible to be elected chair. The term of the chair and vice chair shall be 1 year with eligibility for re-election. My understanding reading that is that the 1 year requirement is explicitly conditioned only for chair.
It sounds like that. Kalanen, what's your?
Death, I read, and.
Okay.
I have not read it for we need every.
Be great tonight. Bye.
Okay, well, I think it's a good idea to have one because if I win the Powerball coming up and I'm on a beach in Aruba, and you guys got to have somebody run the meeting, run the gavel. So, in the unlikely event that that happens, does anyone want to make a motion to for vice chair? If not, we can do this in a future meeting as well. So,
Mr. Chair, I think I think it's germane, and I think city code requires that as mandated that we have elections and have these positions. I would like to self-nominate myself for first.
Okay, we have a nomination of Alex Alimi.
Second.
And also,
he's the only one that can do that.
But
not for election.
No.
For vice chair.
For vice chair, but you just said you agreed with what he said that the vice chair doesn't require a year.
Okay.
But.
Whatever.
Right? Okay. So we have a motion, we have a second or nomination and a second. Anyone else nominate? Okay. All in favor of Alex Alimi becoming the vice chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, please say no. Hearing none, congratulations. Alex, do you have a speech, an acceptance speech? If not, no. Okay, I don't have to ask for, Brenda, go ahead. Yes, please.
Waving its way back, but as many get by to control.
The what? I'm sorry.
Sign.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
The next meeting, so I mean, here I'm, and I am will be me.
In the next meeting, do we have? December 3rd is the next meeting.
I just did commission and find out.
Got it.
Then it's their option. They will have the evil sending out with Ben Top and Kissing. Tomorrow's not the target.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sorry.
One
Kalanen, go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So it is not a legal requirement that minutes that anything is reported.
Okay.
So for the statute that's very specific, there needs to be minutes, but audio is not.
Not a legal requirement.
These are required.
Understood. Okay.
It's a little sticky, but we in our best efforts at transparency, we try audio reporting that it's not required by.
Okay, got it. Alex?
Sorry, just because it came up, there was a question about what we did or did not vote on the last thing. I handed out a copy of an email that I sent to the city commission primarily because now you all also, well, sorry, is this the right one? Yeah. You should all now have a link to the recording if you wanted to review.
Thank you. And I just want to say for the new members, in the past, I have with other boards and this one, I asked for a motion, a second, and a vote to adjourn just so everybody knew I wasn't cutting anybody off. But I was informed that the city doesn't do that. So
To adjourn.
They don't ask for a motion and they just say adjourn. Right. So to stay consistent with that, I will just ask is that if anybody is okay, everybody's got nothing else to say, I'm not cutting anybody off. Meeting is adjourned 7:35 or 8:37. Which is that? Correct. 7:35.